Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Saturday morning. That's why I've got such incredible energy. Blazing 5, then we bring our buddy on RJ Bell, pregame.com. But first, my coveted, red-hot Blazing 5.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing 5. Seahawks at Browns.
80% of the public on the Seahawks. I'll take Cleveland plus 2. First of all, Cleveland's a young team. Young teams and young people are more emotional, a roller coaster. They lost, they won. They lost, they won. They lost last week. I think they win this week. Cleveland does a lot of things very well. Defensively, sacks tied for 6th. Pass yards allowed, 7th. Third down percentage allowed, 5th. This is an excellent Cleveland defense, which gets 2 of their best 3 cornerbacks back this week, and that allows them to add more pressure. So I think the defense will be very stingy. Also, Seattle is a football team right now. You can throw the ball on them. Pete Carroll's a great coach, but it is a defense outside of Bobby Wagner that is sort of learning their way. It's not a great defense. I think Cleveland does more things good on the defensive end consistently. I like their matchup in the trenches. I think Baker, Nick Chubb, Odell, Jarvis Landry bounce back. This was an easy one for me. I'll go against the public. Cleveland plus 2 wins over Seattle 26-24.
Saints at Jaguars.
Love the Jaguars minus 2. We keep asking the Saints to be in these wild emotional games with a backup quarterback. L.A. and Dallas and then Seattle and then the division game against a shootout against Tampa. That puts stress on a franchise, and I like New Orleans a lot, but this is the best Jacksonville offense in the franchise's history. Gardner Minshew doesn't turn the ball over. They're averaging 400 yards a game. Leonard Fournette has arrived, baby. He has arrived. He is 3rd in rushing yards from scrimmage. I think Jacksonville comes home. I think there's a natural letdown for the Saints, who have been these wildly dramatic games with the Rams and the Seahawks, Cowboys, and the Bucks. I'll take Jacksonville to win by a field goal, 26-23.
Falcons at Cardinals.
Okay, I'm going to take Atlanta minus 2.5. Now, Atlanta's not playing well, but here's the thing. Don't fall in love with Arizona's win over Cincinnati. Cincinnati is inches better than Miami. Last week, Cincinnati didn't have A.J. Green or John Ross, and their offensive line is the worst in the league. It was a pop gun high school college offense. So Arizona goes in there with their defensive problems, and they look like world beaters. Atlanta's got way better personnel, and Arizona's defense is not good. Points, yards, rushing yards, they're lousy. They're bottom 3 or 4 in the NFL. Kyler Murray's a great athlete, but he's been sacked 21 times. That's how bad Arizona's offensive line is, that Kyler Murray has been sacked 21 times. Matt Ryan is still averaging 330 yards passing a game. I like Atlanta to win 28-23.
Titans at Broncos.
Listen, when Tennessee can run the football, they win, and they'll run the football here. Here's the thing about the Titans. They're a limited team, but they're a clean team. They don't turn the ball over. In fact, Marcus Mariota, the Titans have one turnover all year. Now, just think about that. Nobody's close in the NFL. The next fewest turnovers are Arizona with 4. Okay, the Titans have a plus 6 turnover differential. Mariota, 7 TD passes. He's one of 3 quarterbacks in the NFL with 7-plus TD passes and no picks. So again, Tennessee is not a great team, but they're a clean team. They're well-coached. They're smart. They have good line play. They don't make mistakes. Joe Flacco's the better quarterback, I think, in this game. More mistake-prone. The weather's bad, meaning low scoring. I'll take any points I can get. And I've taken Tennessee a lot through the years. People bail on Tennessee all the time. There are weekends. I'm not so sure they're not one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the league. I think they go to Denver and win outright 22-20.
Cowboys at Jets.
This game and line was 8.5. It's now down to 7. At 8.5, I've already bet it on Monday. But I'll still tell you, it's the number, the Jets, is the right side to be on. Take the Jets plus 7. Here's the thing. Adam Gase, I was told, had so little confidence in his third-string quarterback that he just hid the playbook. What was the point? I'm not going to unveil our secrets, our explosion plays, our tricks with my third-string quarterback who can't pull this stuff off. So basically, Dallas has one half of film to really look at. They don't have any film on Sam Darnold with all these guys. And by the way, the Jets led Buffalo, a very good team, 16-0 in the first game. So you got a Dallas team that has to go back to week 1 to find any tape on the Jets. By the way, the Jets have averaged under Sam Darnold 22 points since he started for the Jets. They average 11 without him. So Sam Darnold completely doubles this offense. And I'll say this about the Cowboys this year. Last couple of games, Dak's not playing well. Offensive line is banged up. Receivers aren't totally healthy. I think Dallas wins the game. I'm betting a number here. I already bet it on Monday when it was bigger than this. But the number's too many points to give the Jets at home. Sam Darnold. They don't have a ton of film. It's a lot of guesswork. Jets are mostly healthy. Cowboys win 27-24, but I'll bet the number. I'll take the 7 and the Jets.
All right, here we go. RJ Bell, pregame.com's got the show straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern. I was doing errands all week, so I listened to that thing 3 or 4 different times. And so here we go. I'm going to sound like a sharp here. Are you ready, RJ?
Well, first off, how was the show?
It was very informative.
Now, I hope we're not hearing a lot of RJ picks here because you're listening to the show.
Well, no, but I respect you, and wow. But I've learned a lot. But this one feels like the ultimate sharp. So Cleveland looked like crud on Monday Night Football. Everybody's selling them. Seattle and Russell Wilson looked amazing against the Rams. Everybody's buying them. But Cleveland is young and uneven. Bad good, bad good, bad good. I think they'll play their game of the year. I get points. I really, really like their defensive line matchup here against Seattle's O-line. I'll take Cleveland +2. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement, and you are exactly right. And let's think about this. There's a couple ways to compare lines to get perspective on, is this line too big, too small? One of them is home field advantage. So if a team is even with the opponent, home team's typically 3. Now, some home fields are bigger than others, but 3 is pretty much in there. Here's another way to do it, though. Let's compare some teams. So Cleveland just last week went to San Francisco. The line the entire week, it ran up late, but the entire week was 3.5. Which means San Fran was a half point better because 3 for home field, 3.5. Okay, almost even with the Browns. Now this line is telling you that Seattle was 5 points better than the Browns because the Browns are at home. They should be laying 3, but they're actually getting 2. Now what would you say, Colin, right now if I said compare Seattle to San Francisco?
Well, the feeling is I think Seattle is way far superior.
Ooh. I wonder. You know what's interesting about San Francisco? Football Outsiders have them as the number one team, even ahead of New England.
Yeah.
So to me, I think San Fran, Seattle's about...
Oh, you said comparing San Fran and Seattle.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
I think San Francisco is better. I thought you meant Cleveland and Seattle. I think Seattle's viewed as much better than Cleveland, and I don't think they are.
Okay, fair enough. So that's interesting. So if we do assume San Fran and Seattle is about the same, and last week Cleveland was only a half point worse than San Fran, and now they're 5 points worse than Seattle, then it means that there's been this massive adjustment off of one game. That's always wrong. That's the driver of the agreement. Last thing on this game, though, it does worry me about Baker, because one of the things we did talk about was Richard Sherman. He knew everyone had cameras. Did he really think he was going to be able to lie about that? It just strikes me he must have so much disdain for Mayfield that he would just lie, understanding he's going to get caught just to cause him some grief. If these teams are that much against Baker, I think that's a huge disadvantage for Cleveland.
But we both agree Browns +2 is the play.
Yes.
Okay, this will go against what most people think. I'm going to take the Jags -2 at home against the Saints. The Saints have been in 4 big emotional games. Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, division game against Tampa. I like what Sean Payton's done here. But Jacksonville's offense has been very productive. When they're not sloppy, they're actually a good team. And I think the Saints... I just don't think you can keep asking a team to play these big emotional games with a backup quarterback. I think the Saints pull back here, and I like the number. I'll take Jags -2.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. Agreement, except the number. I feel like we're getting out of range here. Because if you went on the street and said, Saints at Jags, what's the line? Wouldn't you say a majority of casual NFL fans are going to say Saints small favorite?
Yes, Saints -2.
Yeah, I think so. So to me, three is home field. So if it got to three, Jacksonville and the Saints would be even teams. And I don't think that's the case. So to some degree, this feels like the sharp side. It worries me because of the value. I'd like it a lot more at Pick'em. I've been trying to fade Bridgewater, and I got to tell you, I'm getting beat up. And what in that regard, and here's the thing. I'm a big believer that the teams know so much more than any outsider, and you can see by their actions what they think. Sean Payton has paid a significant money for a backup quarterback, meaning more than usual for Bridgewater. They believe he's the next quarterback there. So all the pessimism, all the 10 yards and all that, not beyond, you got to wonder, are we fading Sean Payton's, not only in this game or games, but his judgment and about Bridgewater? So all the sharps agree with you. I tend to. I just think it's a little expensive. I'm going to give you agreement, though, on Jacksonville.
I'm going to take Atlanta minus two at Arizona, and here's why. I think Cincinnati is awful. I think Cincinnati is a field goal better maybe than Miami. And last week, that bad Cincinnati team that was blown out by Mason Rudolph didn't have John Ross or A.J. Green. That may have been, for the day, the worst offense in the league. Just for the day, if not the season. So Arizona wins, and there's this feeling like, wow, they've got it together. I think Cincinnati right now is atrocious with no perimeter players. And I do think Atlanta, Matt Ryan is moving the ball. So I do believe time of possession, the Falcons will win it. Because Cincinnati, frankly, just couldn't sustain drives. And I think Atlanta's got better personnel. They're a better team. Now, will they play hard for their coach? But mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Falcons minus two. I think they win by a field goal.
Disagreement. And it's not any love for the Cardinals, though. Oftentimes when a team wins a big game, right, and winning your first game is a big game, you would fade them the next week because you think they might
yes.
a little let down. I think with a first-year team or coach, first-year quarterback, if anything, it gives them momentum. I think that they come to the building enthused. You know, at different times of your career, and again, Colin, you've been a skyrocket of success, but maybe you have a down, you know, a back at Tampa or whatever, maybe had a down quarter on the news or whatever, and then the next ones come out and they're good. That energizes you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, I think in general, fading a big win is a good thing. I don't like it here, but here's the main thing. Quinn's out. I mean, I don't see. I would lay minus 300. He's not coaching there next year. And here's why. He took over the defense. It's one thing as a CEO type head coach to say, well, change. They changed every coordinator, every key coach. He took over the defense. And last week against Houston, was that maybe the worst defensive performance of the year of any team?
It was really bad.
And now they're laying points on the road? So last thing, let's just do the flip. 6 points. Atlanta would be an 8-point favorite at home against the Cardinals. Should they be laying eight to anybody? Disagreement.
Here we go. A team that I actually bet more than probably the average fan. I'm going to take the Titans plus two at Denver. First of all, snow, weather, it could be a very low-scoring game. Here's the thing I like about Tennessee. They are a limited team. We would both acknowledge offensively they're limited. But I'm okay with limited if you're clean. They don't turn it over. They don't throw picks. Not a lot of general penalties. I think this is a ugly, low-scoring game. I think Flacco is more prone to big plays, but bigger mistakes. And I frankly think Mike Vrabel has shown he can win games on the road. They bounce back after poor performances. I'm going to take the Titans plus two here. What do you think? What do the wise guys think?
Agreement. And here's the thing about Tennessee, and the film guys really clued me into this. And it's so great on the internet now. You've got, you know, even a dozen people. And again, you got the senior guy, Cosell, on your show.
Yeah.
And by the way, Colin, I got to be honest with you. We were talking about that Cosell comment on the Giants on a pod about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've noticed you've been replaying that a lot.
Yes.
You know, somehow you weren't talking about it. And then, I mean, every time I hear it, I just smile. I'm like, there we go. Because that was a hell of a comment,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
Jeez, about how bad the Giants were. Well, to me here, the film guys are saying Tennessee, you handicap this way. Can they run the ball?
Yeah.
If they can run it, it opens everything up. If they can't, they're done. And you might think, uh-oh, Denver, Von Miller. Well, you look at DVOA against the run, they're in the high 20s, Denver, meaning bad.
Bad run defense.
And another thing about Denver, they just won, and this is another example where it kind of flips, I think, from Arizona. Arizona's enthused off the win. Denver wins, maybe there's a letdown. Because to me, the monkey's off their back. Does anyone think they're making the playoffs? And oh, by the way, Flacco, he's a guy that not only do they owe a ton of money to this year, they owe a ton next year. I don't think there was a great feeling in that building. Agreement, Titans.
3-1 agreement. Cowboys, Jets. I'm going to go Jets plus 7. Couple of things. If you look at what the Jets average when he plays, 22 points, and what they average when he doesn't, 11.7, clearly Darnold's better than people think. He's athletic. I also think Adam Gase, knowing he was on a third-string quarterback, not a backup, a third-string quarterback, mostly hid the playbook. I mean, what's the point of trying stuff and doing stuff and unveiling stuff when we're playing top teams with our third quarterback? So I think the Jets, mostly healthy now. Remember, they led Buffalo 16-0. They've got real players here. So I think they unveil the playbook. I think Sam Darnold plays. I think the Jets could win it, but I'll take Dallas as the winner. But 7, this number, by the way, like on Monday was like 8.5, but I'll still take the Jets plus 7 here. What do the wise guys think?
Okay, maybe you can tell from my voice. Agreement. I hate this because I do think Dallas is in one of those spots, and we've talked about this many times over the years. Road favorites off a bye do exceptionally well. Now you're thinking, well, Dallas isn't off a bye, but what does the bye represent? Focus, because they're not going to look ahead of a team if they just had a week off. I think Dallas is focused here. What's making me like the Jets is I think Dallas is going to run. And remember, lower scoring means every point's more valuable.
Yes.
For the underdog. And personally, if you play the Jets, I think you've got to, speaking to the audience, you've got to play the under correlated on a two-team parlay, because if the Jets cover, the odds of it going under are well over 50%. I like that a bunch. Let me ask you a quick question. Did you hear that about Gase in the playbook, or is that pure speculation?
What I've been told by people, I have good friends close to the Jets because a lot of my friends out east were Jet fans, is that Falk is such a limited athlete, such a limited thrower, that there was, I was told, there was no sense of putting him in spots that were difficult. I mean, Le'Veon Bell averaged 2.5 yards a rush. They took out the clever. They took out the explosive plays. They took out the dynamic plays. They wanted to keep games close. Just try to not make a ton of mistakes. I think they unveil stuff they haven't shown anybody. And I go back. Only time I've seen Darnold this year, he led a very good Buffalo team 16-0.
No, I agree.
Was it 16-0 or it was like 5 weeks ago?
No, I think it was 16-0.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like, we know Buffalo now is a very good football team. So I think you're going to see a Jets offense that we saw against Buffalo that's creative, clever, explosive, dynamic, and, you know, a lot of multiple sets we haven't seen.
Yeah, so I got to be candid. I have not heard that, and I think there's a lot of truth. Even I don't think Gase would have said, well, this play is going to give us a better chance to win, but let's not bother. But I think because of the limitations of Falk, there's a lot of the playbook they weren't able to use. So that's interesting to me. But I'll tell you this. I do 3 hits a week on New York radio. They're not saying, oh, don't worry. I mean, it's like they want this guy's head already. So
yes,
to some degree, the focus on the Jets side is going to be there too. So a slight agreement plus 7 Jets.
All right, bonus pick only for our Saturday podcast. Lions go on the road. They've won a couple of times there recently at Lambeau. They get 3.5. I like the number more when it was 4, 4.5. I would probably take the Lions here. I think Matt Patricia's got them playing good defense. Packers off a very dramatic win. National TV over Dallas. You know, do they pull back a little? Still don't know if Davante Adams plays. I'd probably take Lions plus 3.5. What would the wise guys say?
Oh, biggest disagreement of the week. Luckily, you pulled that, or luckily this wasn't one of your 5.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. Home field 3, except in a couple of places, Seattle, New Orleans, and Green Bay. It's 4. It's 4 in Green Bay. can we really make the case the Lions are better than the Packers?
I think the Lions are better. I think it's closer than we think, but probably not.
But yeah, I agree with that. So to me, it really is the simple math of saying Lambeau, and you mentioned it. I didn't realize that when Green Bay beat Dallas, Aaron Rodgers for his career went to exactly 500 on the road.
Right.
So how good is he at home? Think about it. If he's only 500 on the road. And to me, that's what this is all about. The idea that the home field is so good. And I do think that whole Detroit is 4-0 against Green Bay is a little deceiving. Last season, the second game was week 17. Packers had shut it down. So still, they've been good against them. I wouldn't overreact. I personally, in fact, Fezzik, our guy, NFL guy, best bet of the week so far has been on Green Bay.
Wow. Well, I would have lost it anyway.
Well, we'll
see. Well, my
we'll
bonus
see.
Pick is usually the one that was the last game. So the last game I was going to bet is the bonus pick. So this is the one that lost out when I started thinking about it. So in the end, yeah. Thank God.
You're saying, look how wise you were to have the wrong side.
But I would have gone Detroit. All right, RJ Bell, the show is straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern. Pregame.com is Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas. Good talking to you, bud.
Thank you.